thank you for the opportunity we have to teach, preach, and hear your word in the name of Jesus.
Lord, you said that that the Bible is your word. You said that all scripture is given by inspiration of you, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. Therefore, we count these as the word of God. And Father God, you said that this is your word. And Father God, we know that your word is powerful and it destroys the devil's strongholds. So we say that your word is devil destruction power. Father God, we thank you that your word reveals your will. Lord, so we say that your word is the will of God for our lives. And whatever it says about us is true. Whatever it says we have is true. And whatever it says belongs to us is true. We receive that and we believe it in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16.
I mean, it seems like God is leading so many different directions today. First, dealing with righteousness. You need to understand righteousness. You need to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Many of you have just been taught wrong. You've been taught to condemn yourselves. You've been taught to beat yourselves down. You've been taught that you are to go before God as a worthless nobody. Oh God, I'm so unworthy. You know what? You are unworthy. But God has made you worthy. Say, God has made me worthy. You need to say yes to yourself every single day. You need to say that I'm not worthy of myself, but God has made me worthy. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about your value. He says, why are you worrying? He says, look at the birds of the air. And he talks about how God takes care of them. And then he says, are you not much more worthy than they are? God says that you are worthy. Say, I'm worthy.
I'm worthy.
Say, I'm worthy.
I'm worthy.
Not because of what you've done. You ain't did a daggone ding-dong thing to make yourself worthy. I didn't make myself worthy. Matter of fact, I was a sinner on my way to double dot hockey sticks. I was going to that place that was full of fire and brimstone. I was going to a place that I was going to be in pain for the rest of my life. But then one day, God sent some Filipino guy named Dennis Mendoza to my room and continually persisted with me. Continued to talk to me about Jesus. Even after he left, and I saw him off at the airport, he continued to share with me about Jesus. And for the next couple of years, all I could think about was the fact that I was going to hell. But I kept saying, God, I want to get saved, but I'm not ready yet. And I was on my way to hell. But God had mercy. He had mercy on me. I got married to this young lady right here. We lived in sin for a good long time. But then we got married. I went to California. And I remember when I first got to California, we went to a place called Edwards Air Force Base. How many of y'all have ever heard of Edwards Air Force Base? How many of y'all know about the space shuttle? The space shuttle usually lands there in that big, big desert. I remember I got to Edwards Air Force Base and got to the airport, and a guy came to pick me up from the base, and we were driving along. And this is the first time, you know, I grew up in the city. You know, most of my family, my relatives grew up in the south, in the country, but I grew up in the city. And I wasn't used to a whole bunch of desert. I mean, but we were just driving for miles and miles and miles of nothing but desert. All that sand. And I said, why am I in this God-forsaken place? And you know what happened after I said that? I heard a voice. not an audible voice, but I wasn't saved at the time. But the voice said, I have not forsaken this place. It just shook me for a moment. You know, I wanted to say, well, it looks forsaken to me, but when we got there, I mean, it was nothing but desert there. And when I got there was nothing to do except go out to clubs and stuff like that. But I got there, and to make a long story short, God got a hold of me. I was placed into a situation where I have no other choice but to call on the name of the Lord. And when I did, God met me. He did miracles. I mean, he provided what a lot of those guys on TBN call miracle provisions. The situation in my life looked impossible. It was looked like I couldn't get my wife to the United States. She was pregnant at the time with my daughter Trisha. I'm sorry, Terry came a few years later. She was pregnant with Trisha. I didn't have, even if she got to the States, I had no house, no car, no driver's license, no money. We were in some sad situation. I had no other choice but to turn, because I turned to everybody else. Everybody else told me they couldn't help me. Sorry, we can't help you. If the Air Force wanted you to have a wife, we'd issue you one, blah, 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 all that other stuff. So I turned to the Lord. And the Lord began to work miracle after miracle after miracle. He worked so many miracles, I could no longer deny him. Not that I ever said I don't believe there's a God, because I truly believed in God. I truly believed in Jesus, but I did not. But my faith in Jesus was not a saving faith. It was I know he exists type of faith. But I wasn't ready to live for him yet. But when all those miracles happened in my life, I said, you know something? I need to turn my life over to him. I need to give my life over to him. And God even provided that. My friend, and you're going to meet him, close friend of mine, Reverend Clifton McGowan, who now has a ministry called Jesus is Lord Ministries out there in Arkansas. He came to my room and invited me to church. So it's like God wasn't letting me out of nothing. I went to church. Went one Sunday, got touched by the Spirit. Went the next Sunday, gave my life to Christ. As a matter of fact, I can't even remember what the man was preaching on. All I knew was when I went that Sunday, I said, I'm going to give my life to Christ. You know, I thought the only way you could do it is at the altar. And I just said, whenever, I'll be glad when this dude shuts up. I don't even remember who was preaching. All I remember, I said, man, when he shut up, I'll be glad when he be quiet, because I need to give my life to Jesus. And when he was finished, and when the altar call finally came, I was up there. I did, like some of y'all, had all the tears and the boo-hooing and the crying and all that stuff. But it was something different. I just knew something was different about me after he held my hand and I said that sinner's prayer. Now, believe me, I had prayed what is called the sinner's prayer before, and nothing happened. But this time, I knew something for real had happened in my life. And I gave my life over to Jesus Christ. And I have served him ever since. That was July 22nd, 1984. I've served him ever since. Loved him and served him ever since. I had a lot to learn from that period of time. But the difference I could tell in me was because after I gave my life to Christ that Sunday, I wanted to tell everybody. I wanted to share this good news with everybody. And one of the things I found out was that people always need prayer for something. Even if they won't accept your Savior, if they know that you believe in Jesus, people will always... Does that happen to you? Anybody, when you're at work, you know, people just come up to you and say, can you pray for me about such and such? Don't even know... Probably cussed you out a couple of weeks ago. But then all of a sudden they need prayer and they come to you. But you know, that's where we get into the signs and wonders we find here in Mark chapter 16. When you pray for people, you need to pray with expectancy. You need to recognize the authority you have in Christ Jesus, and you need to pray with that type of expectancy. You see, it's not that everybody's going to come to Christ because of signs and wonders. That's not true at all. There's some people who see signs and wonders, and they still will not believe. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to get more people coming to know Jesus as they begin to see that Jesus is real than you will by trying to win them over with an intellectual argument.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you this. I remember when we were first starting the church, you know, the pre-Victorious Word church back in 2000, I think it was 2006 when we first started. We didn't see the culmination of it until 2007. But me and my wife, we started in the living room of my house. And I'm telling you, I was trying to find every way to invite people over. I mean, you know, I made flyers, I stapled dollar bills. Me and my wife, we went and got $100 worth of dollar bills and started stapling them on the flyers. And I was handing them out to people, and they would just look at them, snatch the dollar bill off, and throw the flyer away. I mean, one guy I handed it to, and he's like, "What the hell is this?" I'm like, "Well, I won't be sharing with him." But then later on, we had a brother that joined with us. Most of y'all met him, you know, because he stayed with us for a while before he went to the Bahamas. Brother George Mowbray. George felt called to God to help us out with the work. And so he stood with us, him and a couple other people. And so George was an evangelist. We'd go downtown on Crescent Street and places like that. This was before I met Pastor Christy. And we were doing evangelism and stuff like that. And so we met one guy. And this guy, he was in desperate need of a job. Desperate need. And he had applied for all kinds of jobs. And nobody was hiring him. He had a wife and two kids to feed. And so he asked us to pray for him. So I prayed with him, and I prayed with expectancy. Say expectancy.
Expectancy.
When I prayed with him, I expected God to do something in that man's life because God needed to show himself real for that man. So I prayed for that man. And then I followed up with him about 3 days later just to see how he was doing. I didn't know if God was going to do it as fast as he did. But when I called him up, he said, "Pastor Troy?" He said, "Man." He said, "You must not." Now, I heard this more than once. You know, I told y'all about the van earlier today. And this guy said almost the same exact thing. "You must have a pipeline to heaven, man. I mean, you called the day you prayed for me, the very next day, I got a job offer." So God had taken care of this man, got him a job, not only what he wanted, but with more money than he really wanted. So he's like, "Man, I'm going to come to church. When is church service?" I mean, he was all excited. His wife got on the phone thanking me. "Oh, thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for what you did for my husband." You know, I try to share. It's not me that did it. It was Jesus. You know, and so I go by their house a couple of days later just to see how they're doing. Knocking on the door. And then I hear some whispering in the background. I hear adults whispering. So I say, "I know they home." Then I hear the kid says, "Yes, who is it?" I said, "This is Pastor Troy." Then I hear some more whispering. "Daddy's not home." "Is mommy home?" "No." I said, "You sure?" "Yes." So I walked away. Maybe they really weren't home. I was just hearing things. So I tried to call them. I called them several times. All of a sudden, nobody wants to answer the phone anymore. You see, so don't get disappointed. I tell you this story because not every
everybody is going to jump up and down and say hallelujah when they see a miracle of God. Amen?
That's right.
But that should never stop you from praying and expecting miracles. If nothing else, God did something for me. I saw that he could move when I prayed with expectancy. Say expectancy.
Expectancy.
I saw that the signs really do follow the believer.
Yes.
Oh, one of these days I'll get to the scripture that I told y'all to turn to. But let me tell you another story. I remember years ago, there was a young man in the office. I was in the military, a young man. He worked in our office. And he was just down and out and depressed one day. And so I went to talk to him. I said, man, what is going on? Why are you so irritable and agitated and ugly and everything? And so he says,
can I talk to you outside?
I said, yeah, let's go outside. We go outside and he starts telling me, man, I got a lump on. And he told me the area that he had a lump at. And he was so scared that it was cancer. And he thought it was cancerous. And he had to go see the doctor in a couple of days to find out what was going on and blah, blah, blah. I said, you know something? I said, Jesus can take care of that. He said, will you pray for me? I said, I most certainly will. I laid my hands on him. I commanded that lump to go in the name of Jesus. And I commanded him to be completely, totally healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He went to the doctor and the lump was completely gone. Disappeared. Amen. Doctor didn't know what happened. Well, his wife, and two other people that I worked with came to my house that weekend. And we shared the gospel with them, and all four of them accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Glory to God.
Amen.
And that was because his wife saw that God had done something miraculous. He had done something that the doctors couldn't deal with, that he couldn't deal with. They wasn't sure if it was cancerous or not. But when God got a hold of that thing, it completely disappeared. So not everybody's going to receive Jesus Christ because of the signs and wonders. But there are many that will. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to be praying. We need to pray with expectancy. Say expectancy.
Expectancy.
Signs shall follow them that believe. Let's look at our scripture, Mark chapter 16. Man, see, I didn't even know I was going to preach on this, and I don't even know what the title of this message. Let's title this Unexpected Message. Now, I've been writing a book called Miracles Are For Today. It's more of a book dealing with the lies of theology that says that God does not do signs and wonders in our day. It's, you know, people tell you that signs and wonders were only for the apostles, the original apostles. You know, the original 12 apostles that Jesus had. They tell you that these signs were only for them or those that they laid their hands upon and conferred or transferred their anointing to. But once the last apostle died, then so did the signs and wonders because they were only for them. Well, first of all, church history disproves that. Praise God. If you study church history, you will find out that signs and wonders continue even after the last apostle died. They continue at least until the 3rd century of the church after Jesus Christ. Now somehow they wane. We lost the power of God. And it's mostly, when you study church history, it wasn't because God decided one day, well, I don't want to do signs and wonders anymore. I've already given them the Bible. They should just live with that. No. The reason why was because of compromise in the church. And when the church was being persecuted, when they were living for Christ and they were being harshly persecuted by the world, God was manifesting himself in signs and wonders and miracles. But then one day, a man named Constantine, who was trying to conquer the whole world, was about to go to war against another nation. And so he got up in the morning, and Constantine was a sun god worshiper. But he got up in the morning one day, and he saw the cross in the sun.
And it says, by this sign, ye shall conquer. So he decided to go to war under the banner of the cross, and he actually won the war. And so after that, he decided that he was going to become a Christian. And so what he did was he took all of the temples that normally did sun god worship, and he turned them from sun god priests into Christian priests. They still did all the same rituals and stuff, except instead of worshiping the different deities, they changed them into saints and started worshiping saints and Mary. All of these, in order to get to Jesus, you first have to go through all of these saints. Well, the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and men, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, they began to put all kinds of rituals into the church. And those who tried to hold on to true Christianity were still being persecuted. But because of the compromise of the church, God could no longer manifest himself in power. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. I know I told you, keep your finger in Mark chapter 16. We are going to look at it. But I want you to look at Mark chapter 6 real quick. I want you to see why God cannot always manifest himself in power. Mark chapter 6. We're going to teach more on this later on down the road. We're going to teach this in more detail. I'm just giving you a synopsis today of what you need to hear and learn. Look at verse 5. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Somebody read that for me. Well, just a teeny weeny Bible study. Somebody read verses 5 and 6 for me.
Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching.
Amen.
Amen.
So he could do no mighty work there, except he said, He healed a few sick people. The reason why God's power cannot manifest the way we truly want it to, or the way we expect it to, is because of unbelief. And that's what happened in the third century of the church. People fell into unbelief. They started worshiping things other than God and the true God. And therefore, they fell into unbelief, and God's power was no longer manifested. Now, somebody came up with a doctrine of the sovereignty of God and said that God just decided to withdraw his power from the church. No, that's not necessarily true. God requires faith on our part to see these miracles happen. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. I want you to look at this one real quick. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Now, the background of the story is Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, he took Peter, John, and John's brother with them. And they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I think it was James with them. Yeah. And you know, Jesus was transformed into his glory, and he began hanging out with Moses and Elijah, and Moses and Elijah were telling him the things he was suffering and stuff like that. And Peter and John and James were up there with them. So after all this was over, Jesus went down and found a crowd, and his other disciples were supposed to be trying to bring deliverance to a boy who was being tossed into the fire and things like that. And so the father came to Jesus and said, I brought this guy to your disciples. I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't cast him out. So we go down to Jesus' words in verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless
and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. I want you to see what Jesus said here. When that man complained to Jesus that I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't cast him out, Jesus didn't say, well, that's only because they're just disciples. They're just people. They're not me. I'm God. They are just disciples. They don't have the same power I have. So you shouldn't expect them to do something that only I could do. No, Jesus did not say that. He was upset that they were not able to cast that demon out. He said, you are a faithless and perverse generation. Now see, people get mad at us today when we tell you ain't got no faith. you're not working miracles, and we say that's because of your faith, and they get mad and write books against us. Those faith teachers, something wrong with them. But this is Jesus. I tell you, Jesus would have been persecuted in our day. Now, I'm not one who goes around slapping people down because they don't have any faith. But Jesus was quick to tell you, it's your faithlessness that caused this to happen. And so we go on and we read down, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, now listen to this. Jesus said unto them, because I'm God and you're not. Is that what he said in verse 20?
No.
Jesus said unto them, because I am deity and you are little pitiful nothings. You are just the dust of the earth. That's why I was able to cast them out, and you powerless imposters are not. Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
No. He said, the reason why you couldn't cast them out is not because I'm God and you're not. It's not because God is in control and so everything happens according to his will. No, that is not what he said. Jesus said, you couldn't cast them out. Why? Because of your what?
Unbelief.
Jesus said, you can't cast out this demon because you won't believe me. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Jesus, now look at this. Jesus is telling you how much authority you have. There's an authority in faith. Say this with me. Say, there's an authority, with faith.
There's an authority.
Say that with me again. There's an authority,
that comes
with faith. I'm telling you, faith in God has supernatural, miraculous power. Look how bad you are. I mean, yous is bad if you start walking in faith. Look at this. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing, say nothing.
Nothing.
And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out, not out, but by prayer and fasting. So you have power. Say power.
Power.
You have power. Now, I will say this real quickly, but before you get upset with me, let me add an addendum. St. Augustine, back in the 3rd century, because of their ascetic lifestyle, was strong on fasting along with prayer. And so Jesus, in verse 21, says that, if you read the original Greek, it says, how bad this kind goeth not out but by prayer. Now, St. Augustine added the fasting in later to the scripture. And that's why we see fasting and prayer. But let me help you to understand something. Fasting does amplify your prayer power. Amen?
Amen.
Other portions of scripture do teach about fasting. And Isaiah chapter 58 is one of those that talks about how fasting can bring your deliverance. So fasting does amplify the power of your prayer. And that's why we are going to go on in consecration next, not this coming week, but the next week. And we're going to have even longer consecrations of fasting and prayer as a church body in the upcoming months. Because we want to see signs and wonders.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
I am tired of Christianity as the way I see it right now. I'm tired and I'm bored with singing three fast songs, three slow songs, announcements, welcoming the visitors, preaching a sermon, pray, and go home. I'm sick of it. Tired of it. Had enough.
Amen.
I can throw all this away and go to any church and get that. Amen? I want to see some move of God in this place. Amen?
Amen.
I want to see God begin to do some things.
Hallelujah.
I want to see Him do it not just through me, but through you.
Amen.
I want to see you start prophesying.
Yes.
I want to see you start giving. I want to see one of y'all get up and just blurt some tongues out, and somebody else, not the same person, but somebody else give an interpretation.
Yes.
I mean, one time God just left me all embarrassed. I sat up there and I gave out a tongue, and I'm waiting for somebody to give an interpretation, and just y'all just standing there. So I said, God, okay, give me the interpretation. But y'all, I don't know how many of y'all remember that when that happened. I was just so embarrassed. y'all need to start moving in these things, glory to God.
Amen.
Y'all need to start having some faith for miracles. Say faith.
Faith.
For miracles.
For miracles.
We need to start seeing God do some signs and wonders in this house, glory to God.
Amen.
We need to see some real healers. We need to see the kind of healers where people are coming in here in wheelchairs and getting up and God being glorified, praise God.
Amen.
It doesn't have to happen through the pastor. I mean, there are some people that are especially gifted in certain areas, you know, because everybody doesn't have all the gifts. There are some people that God will anoint to do certain things, but every last one of you can lay hands on the sick and expect God to bring recovery to them.
Amen.
Oh, now let's look at Mark chapter 16. I tell you, I'm just encouraged by this word. I'm just preaching myself happy today. I know I'm going to see some signs and wonders. Mark chapter 16, begin at verse 15. And this is Jesus speaking. See, my Bible, whenever Jesus is talking, my Bible's written in red. So if it's in red, it means Jesus is talking. And it said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at that. God wants you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He hasn't changed his mind about that.
Amen.
He still wants every creature saved. Glory to God.
Amen.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be darned. And 17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Say this with me. Say,
these signs
shall follow
them
that are apostles.
Oh,
come on. That's what the theologians told me. These signs shall follow them that were Jesus' original disciples.
No.
Maybe I'm only with. You got a different Bible than you got.
It's in red, but it's not.
Oh, good. Let me see. What you got? Those who believe, see,
yeah.
What's wrong with these women, man? What's going on? I know you with me, right? You with me, ain't you? Y'all supposed to be my leaves. You're fired!
Sarah, what you got in your Bible? Believe? Tony? Get out of here. Ushers, get that man out of here!
No! It says, they are right. It says, them that believe. What you got in your Bible, Lynn?
I can't believe.
You in the wrong chapter, girl.
shall follow them that believe. If you, how many believers we got in the house today? I won't look you up. Y'all raise your hands. I'm a believer, glory to God. I expect these signs to follow me that believe. And just for clarity's sake, God made sure he stated exactly which signs shall follow them that believe, just in case somebody tried to say something different. Well, God is not talking about physical signs. He's talking about those of a spiritual quality. I'm telling you, if you read some of the books I read, you will say, man, where did they get this stuff from? But people actually believe this stuff. And it's the type of stuff that's taught in your seminaries. It's the type of stuff that's taught from the pulpit in many churches. They will tell you that either these were for an apostle, or they were just of a spiritual quality now. No, these signs, these are specific physical signs that should follow those who believe. In my name. Say in my name.
In my name.
Let me tell you something. If God no longer works miracles today, then the name of Jesus no longer has the power that it used to have. I know Kimora is crying, but listen, I want y'all to hear this. You need to get this in your head. Follow me. If miracles are no longer for today, then the name of Jesus no longer has the power that it used to have. How many of y'all believe that Jesus' name is powerless now?
No.
Oh, no. How many of y'all believe that the name of Jesus is ineffective? Well, the name of Jesus has just as much power today as it had back in the time the disciples used that name.
Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus has power. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall take up serpents. In my name, they shall drink of any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall, say shall?
Shall.
They shall recover. In my name. I'm going to ask y'all a question. How many of you speak in tongues today? How many of you speak in tongues? Don't be embarrassed. If you don't. If you do, you do. How many of you speak in tongues? One? Reuben, two? Three?
Four?
Oh, four? Okay. It's all right. You see, because we're going to be... Later on, we're going to be teaching on what is called the baptism with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
But see, every believer can. Now listen to me. Speaking in tongues does not get you saved, okay? I was saved several months, I think like 6 months before I ever spoke in tongues. And I knew I was saved, baby. I was saved, I loved the Lord, and I wouldn't take it back. But when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, there was some extra power that came with
yes,
that.
Yes.
That just enabled, you know, I mean, I was already praying and seeing results in prayer. But when I got that, man, I mean, I became a devil-chasing, faith-believing, healing believing person. I was already wanting to witness to people. I already had strong desires to share the gospel. But when I received that baptism, I had more boldness. Because naturally speaking, I'm a shy person. I'm very shy, bashful, naturally. Some of y'all think that, y'all see me up here in the pulpit, and you think, man, that's a bold dude, boy. Pastor Troy's a powerful man of God. Yeah, well, guess what? If it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't even be able to get up and do what I'm doing right now for y'all. But because of him, I can get up here, I can sing in front of y'all, I can mess up and still keep going, I can preach the way I'm preaching, only because of the power of God's Spirit on me.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Now, you can have that too.
Hallelujah.
It's something about being able to speak in tongues that enables you to pray more.
Yeah.
I was praying before I ever spoke in tongues. And praying, and I was getting prayers answered. But I could only pray but for so long. I could pray maybe 30 minutes at the most, probably. But I tell you, when I learned, when I received this baptism, I was able to pray for hours. I could get up at night and just pray and just pray and just pray. You can have that too.
Amen.
We're going to share more of that with you. But I want to whet your appetite. I want you to have a desire. I want you to hunger for what God has for you. I want you to be able to receive the blessings of God in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to receive any of these things. It doesn't make you less of a Christian. It doesn't make you a lesser Christian than me or anybody else who speaks in tongues. Amen?
Amen.
There's not two classes of Christians, ones who do and ones who don't. I want y'all to understand that. We don't have two classes of Christians. But all I'm saying is there are some things that God has for you that you can, as a Christian, you can receive and it'll benefit you even more.
Hallelujah.
So you can have all these different signs following you in your life. Praise God. You can be able to, if you just believe, you can have the tongue. You can have the deliverance ministry. You can have the healing ministry. You can have protection in times of danger from snakes and from poison. You can have all these benefits, all these promises that God has laid out right here. You're required one thing. And what's that? Faith. Faith. What's that word again?
Faith.
Believe. Faith. Believe. Let's look at one more passage of scripture and we'll close out. I'm telling you, the message I prepared to preach on today was on worship. I don't know why God has me going in this direction, but I think God simply wants us to do more. I'm thinking about all our Nepalese folks that's coming here. Many of them are Hindu. What's the difference between a Hindu and a Christian? If they don't see any difference, they're just going to be coming to church every once in a while, and it won't mean anything to them. It's hard enough that there's a language barrier between most of us. But if we begin to demonstrate, you know, God is bringing the mission field to us. Praise God.
Amen.
This is Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship is a mission-minded church. God is holding us to our confession, and He is bringing the mission field to us, and He is leaving it up to us to do something with it.
Amen.
If we do not take advantage of the opportunity that God has given us, and we fail God, then you and I will be held accountable. Mm-hmm. You may say, well, I don't want to be held accountable, so I won't come back here no more. Too late! You've already heard the word. No matter where you go now, your God is going to hold you accountable. So therefore, just stick around. Stop believing God. Start asking God to manifest His power and allow you to become a channel by which He can heal the sick, bring deliverance to people who need it.
Amen.
To be able to speak in tongues and intercede for people even when you don't know what's going on in their lives.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, let me share something. I'm going to share something with you about the tongues thing. I shared this with you before, and you know, even though my wife says I repeat my stories, sometimes you need to hear these things more than once because you forget them. When I first, the night that I got filled with speaking in tongues, I was so happy. I went home and I was just praying in tongues out loud in my bedroom. Just praying and praying and praying. Wasn't no more than a couple days and weeks later that a woman came to me who worked in my office and she said, "Troy, do you believe in speaking in tongues?" I said, "I sure do." And she said, "You know, her daughter and son-in-law lived right next door to us." And she said, "You know, my daughter was saying that she was in the bed one night and she saw all these demons just walking around in her bedroom. And she said she was really scared. And she said that all of a sudden she heard you next door praying in other tongues." And she said, when you started praying in tongues, she said the demons just disappeared. They just left and never came back. When she said that, I said, "Woo! I got some power here." You can have that same power, baby.
Hallelujah.
We have seen God do some wonderful things. It was only when I got to Rhode Island when I saw a waning of a lot of the power of God. I've seen God do, oh my goodness, I could tell you story after story of things God has done. We have seen cancer heal. We have seen people just healed of all kinds of stuff. We have seen people healed of epilepsy. We have seen God do great things simply because of this. We believe. Say believe.
Believe.
Let me show you just one more. Can I show y'all one more passage of scripture?
Yes.
Will y'all get mad at me?
No.
Who said yes? Did you say yes, Saya? My son's nickname is, his Japanese name is Saya. That's the Japanese name my wife was going to give him. But I overrode her as the authority in my house, and I named him Troy Jr. Now when he becomes an adult, he's going to change his name to Saya. Turn with me to John chapter 14. We're looking one more passage of scripture, then we're going to close this out. Look at verse 12. As much as I want to expound on the other passages, just look at verse 12 real quick. It says, "Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me," say believeth. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus says that you and I can do the exact same miracles that he did. Not only the miracles that he did, and he did a lot of miracles.
Yeah.
But he says you can even do greater than what I did. You know, my wife and I, we were talking one day, just a couple of days ago. And we were just talking about, you know, sometimes, you know, the sons do better than the father and stuff like that. And I told her, I said, I would love to see my son do better than me. Any real father wants his son to do better than what he's done. Praise God. Well, why wouldn't Jesus be that same way?
Amen.
Jesus is not on an ego trip. He wants you to do even more and even better than what he did.
Amen.
But if you have trouble with that, then just understand this. Jesus is the one who will be doing it through you anyway. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So if he's the one doing it through you and you're doing better, then you don't have to, then you won't get on an ego trip. You won't say, "Well, I'm doing greater signs than Jesus." No, because Jesus is doing it through you anyhow.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You ain't got no power of yourself. You only have the power that Jesus provides through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God.
Amen.
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 Glory to God. Stand to your feet. I know the children were running around today and y'all was getting distracted and stuff like that, but did anybody get anything out of this at all?
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. Are you ready to go out and do some signs and wonders?